Hello, my name is Jackie Clare and I'm a London Blue Badge guide for London Walks. And I'm absolutely delighted to be able to take you today on a part of my waterscape walk. And where are we? Well, we're in the southeast of London in an area called Rotherhithe. And why waterscape? Well, waterscape because it's one of those simple pleasures. That feels even more of a pleasure in a city like London, to be able to walk next to a lake, next to the River Thames, next to a canal. And in our case today, we're going to be walking next to a dock, a rather large dock with a wonderful name. It's called Howland Great Wet Dock. I couldn't think of a better name for a dock. Because it's a vast expanse of water, which is indeed very wet. And as you stand at the edge of the dockside and you look across the dock, nowadays, of course, the view you have is very, very different from the view back in 1695 when the dock was constructed. The view today, you see mainly residential buildings, apartments along several sides of the dock. You see a water sports centre, and dependent on the weather, you see people out sailing and enjoying the dock. So a very different atmosphere, I think, than you would have felt and the views you would have seen back at the end of the 1600s. When the dock was constructed, countryside was all around. Three sides of the dock were lined with trees. And at the head of the dock stood a great mansion house, the property of the Russell family, the Dukes of Bedford. And that dock that was constructed, it was the very first dock of a dock building era, which extended from the end of the 1600s through until the end of the 1800s in this area. No less than 10 docks were constructed, and they were given the rather unexciting name of Surrey Commercial Docks when they were all grouped together. But individually, they had wonderful names like Lady Dock and Russia Dock, Canada Dock, and Albion Dock, another of my favourite names. And these were docks which had interlinking channels and lakes for floating timber between the different docks. So a very different scene all those years ago. But the dock didn't keep its name. It didn't keep that original name. It in fact changed to the name it has today. And that is Greenland Dock. And in the name is a hint as to the type of trade that developed through the 1700s. And that was the whaling trade. The whaling fleets would pedal backwards and forwards across the Atlantic from Greenland. And in their holds was whale blubber. And you can imagine on a journey across the Atlantic, the flesh would fester and go rotten. And when it arrived at Greenland Dock and had to be unloaded, it was not the most pleasant job that a docker could hope to have. The blubber was placed in boiling houses that were along one side of the dock in the 1700s. And the process of boiling was all about producing products such as lamp oil, soap. The bones of the whales could be used for corsets for the ladies of the day. And in addition, for making something extremely useful in London, and that is umbrellas. So this trade went on in the 1700s. And of course, the trade thrived during the period of the British Empire. And as trade with the British Empire started to wane come the end of the 1800s, then you have an increasingly difficult situation for those who lived in this area and for the dockers who worked in this area. And there were a number of things that led to the closing of the docks really come 1964. Apart from that reducing trade in general, there was the fact that containerization had arrived and the ships passing along the Thames could not so easily pass around this dogleg and could not so easily manoeuvre into the docks here, and in particular into Greenland Dock. In addition to that, in the 1900s, over the course of the 1930s, 40s, 50s, the role of aircraft had grown as far as transporting freight was concerned. And so this in turn also took away business from the docks. And then throughout the history of the docks, there had always been rather difficult labour relations. And in 1889, for example, there was a great strike. It was called the strike for the docker's tanner. And a tanner was just sixpence. And it was a strike for a minimum wage. And with the global links, of course, the word of this strike had travelled all around the world, and there was an awful lot of sympathy for the dockers, particularly from Australia. And so funds were poured into their cause. And in fact, the dockers were successful in claiming their minimum wage of the docker's tanner. Life for the dockers, already hard, as the jobs became fewer and fewer, got harder and harder. When you stand at Greenland Dock, you can imagine where the dock gates were. You don't see them today, but you can see where they were. And it's necessary to think back and imagine that up to about 1,500 men at one point would be standing at those gates at a moment that was called the call-on. And it was a degrading moment because you would stand hoping for work. The foreman would come out and he would choose a few people who were given work that day. And of course, there was favouritism, and of course, there was fighting that broke out. And if you didn't get any work that day, it was called being left on the stones. There were no shelters initially, but with time some shelters were put up against the weather for the dockers hanging around waiting for work. And you can see some of the original dockers' shelters now in the area. It was a very difficult period of time, and a lot of the vocabulary that has come from that area has from that period has stayed with us. And one of the pieces of vocabulary I rather love is called slinging a hook or hanging up the hook. And this referred to dockers retiring. And the hook was the implement that dockers used for their work. It had another name. It was a bailing hook, also referred to as a longshoreman's hook. And this the dockers could use to literally hook onto things, hook onto wood that was being pulled from one place to the other, hook onto goods that they were having to carry. And the dockers used to wear this hook on their belts. And if you can imagine a J shape, essentially, the top T being a wooden handle and the J being the metal hook. And there was a film back in 1957. It's actually based in Manhattan as opposed to in London. But the hook features particularly well, and particularly in a particularly gory way. The film is called Edge of the City, and it starred Sidney Poitier back in 1957, then in Manhattan, set in Manhattan. But there is a scene where there is a fight between dockers, and the hooks are used in the fight. And this sort of terrible violence used to take place in the area. But moving on and not wanting to stick with the subject of hooks too much, but I can say that by hook or by crook, nonetheless, this area, having gone through about 10 years of depression with the entire closing of the docks here in 1970, Surrey Commercial Docks was closed down altogether. And by hook or by crook, nonetheless, 9 years further on, you have a certain cabinet minister from the government of the late Margaret Thatcher. In 1979, the Secretary of State for the Environment was Sir Michael Heseltine. And he hatched a plan, along with others, having flown over the area and seeing this desolate space that was so close to the city of London, the powerful city of London, and yet so derelict and abandoned with the closing of the docks, that a plan was hatched to create investment in this area, to encourage firms to nonetheless put offices in this area, and to use tax incentives and government incentives to try to breathe life back into the area. And back to that hook, indeed by hook or by crook, with ups and downs, with bankruptcies of the development company nonetheless, what you see today when you look around is indeed those areas of residential housing, but you also see a new shopping centre in the planning, and even newer and more modern development on its way. You see the campus to be of the university known as King's College. A large modern Mulberry campus is due to be established here. There are modern buildings for already existing student accommodation, and everything set in this waterscape. So the beautiful lake of Canada Water, known as Canada Water, is just there. And just a stone's throw away is the River Thames. Now, that is going to be my topic for another clip of my waterscape walk, where we will walk along next to the Thames. But before we leave Greenland Dock, I want to just walk along one side of the dock, turn off to the left, and you are passing along a canal entrance, in fact, the Grand Surrey Canal, that cut straight across this dock. And we will go past the original dock gates. So you go through some beautiful park, beautiful countryside, and you pass through what was the original gates, the lock gates, into the dock. And of course, we cannot fail to spot a pub as we head off. And not surprisingly, it's called the Moby Dick pub, referring to that whaling trade. And as you emerge from the lock gates area and towards the next interlinking dock, you are arriving in an area called Russia Dock Woodland. And that's a completely different story, but that's more than 34 acres of beautiful woodland in what was originally a dock. But that's for another podcast on another day. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you have enjoyed this little snippet of my waterscape walk.